Hello, everybody. I'm Parrish Alford.
And I'm Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State Talk brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. This is Parrish Alford with the Daily Journal, and you have tuned into Double Coverage, a podcast for all things Mississippi State and Ole Miss, a production of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. I'm joined now by Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State beat writer. We're going to talk Bulldogs and Rebels for you for about the next half hour or so. And want to remind you about some other podcasts that you can take a look for. Be sure to check out The Memo, All Things Northeast Mississippi, with Brad Locke and Derek Russell, coming to you every Wednesday and Friday. And search for Prep Rally, All Things High School Sports in Northeast Mississippi, with Blake Morgan and Gene Phelps. That comes to you every Wednesday. Logan, how are you, man?
Hey, I'm doing good, Terrence. Making this final little march that we have over the last few days leading up into signing day. And I know that's a big deal for a lot of people. So I've heard rumors over the last few years that people want that to be a national holiday. I'm not on that boat. I don't get that fired up for it, just, especially not anymore since it's I'm not working in the recruiting game. You know, I've spent 5 years at Rival.com, and that was always a huge day for us, and I'm kind of glad I don't have to go to that extreme anymore. Obviously, it'll be something that we do cover at the Daily Journal and cover pretty thoroughly, and we'll do our best to kind of go over some of that today.
Well, it certainly is a big deal, and particularly if you're working at Rivals.com. Logan, I was going to ask you about that. Tell me a little bit about what signing day is like on that day for what we refer to as the recruiting websites.
Yeah, it. I know my first one, I didn't really understand what I was getting into that day. And I wrote a full story for every player that signed that day, and I ended up being up for somewhere around 36 straight hours without any sleep. And after Dan Mullen spoke that day, I just crashed. After that, I think I fell asleep with my shoes still on, and just slept for a long, long time. And you know, it's such a busy day. It's almost like when those papers finally roll in, you know, and everything's confirmed, it's kind of like a weight off your shoulders because you've spent so much. I mean, sometimes you spent 2 and 3 years talking to these prospects, and you know, it's finally over with. I mean, sometimes you've written a dozen stories on some of these kids, and you know, they're finally here, and and you finally get to start talking to next year's class. You get some fresh stories, and you kind of just get tired of talking to the same people over and over and over again through the recruiting cycle. It's almost nice to be able to open up a new window and start talking to some more people. But it's a big day for not only the coaching staff, but people that cover recruiting.
Hey, folks, want to remind you about some other podcasts to check out. Be sure to look for The Memo, our news podcast with the Daily Journal, coming to you every Wednesday and Friday with Brad Locke and Derek Russell. And check out Prep Rally for all your high school sports needs with Blake Morgan and Gene Phelps. That's coming to you every Wednesday. Logan and I are usually here with you on a Thursday. This is a Friday morning. We're a little flexible here, depending on what Mississippi State and Ole Miss have going on. But let's talk recruiting a little bit. Not quite the buzz, Logan, for this Ole Miss class as it was last year and as in recent seasons. The NCAA cloud is still hanging over this program right now. The NCAA's answer, their charges, you know, certainly that's not come about yet. The Rebels eventually will have their say before the Committee on Infractions, but right now that investigation is still going on. We do know that in May there were self-imposed sanctions, and so Ole Miss will sign 21, you know, no more than 21 this season as opposed to 25, and they actually started cutting back a little bit last year. But they're really looking for linebackers, Logan, and there are three linebacker commits in this class right now, and that was such a big position of need for Ole Miss last year. But You know, they've got to be very position specific too. I mean, in addition to linebacker, you can't just sign the athletic guys, and they have three right now that they list as outside linebackers. You know, they've got to have some help in the middle, and that's the position they've not nailed down just yet. But, you know, they're pretty optimistic about one of the commits that they believe will be signing with them. Of course, you know, on signing day, they'll be optimistic about all of them. But we've heard a lot, read a lot about Josh Clark out of the New Orleans area, Riverdale High School, a 6'3", 220 guy, if you believe the recruiting heights and weights. But a guy who is athletic and a guy who can run. Breon Dixon, a commit who is already enrolled and going through classes and will go through spring drills. Another guy at 6'0 and 218 who can be quick and deliver some big hits and make plays on the outside. Still looking for help at middle linebacker. This was such a position of struggle last year, Logan, for Ole Miss. Defense was something that, you know, was just really something that the Rebels never mastered all season long. It's just one of the worst defenses in the conference last year. And a lot of that was run fits, man. I mean, I know you hear at Mississippi State, you hear them talk about run fits and being in the right place. Well, usually that might be something that you hear in September. Well, you know, we're really working on this. We got to get our eyes in the place. We got to get our run fits right, to make the tackle. We were hearing run fits in November, and that's just something that plagued Ole Miss all of last season, and linebacker play was the primary culprit. And, you know, they've got some guys coming in that they think will help. You know, they'll have a new coach at that position and Bradley Del Pavito coming over from LSU. Long time, a defensive coach, has spent most of his years with linebackers. So a lot of focus being given to that position. And we'll see if Ole Miss can make some improvement there. But the thing is, Logan, you have a veteran coach coming in. And Pavito is going to, by and large, have to improve that position with the players in-house, with the ones that have some experience, because yeah, this is not an Ole Miss class with a lot of star power, at least from recruiting rankings that we've seen in recent years. The class right now ranked number 51 in the 247 sports composite list. You know, Dixon looks to be a pretty good player and some of these other guys, but they'll be coming in young, and it's going to be a challenge for Pavito to take some guys that are already on the roster and maybe some position changes. You know, I know you covered Armani Linton in recruiting or are familiar with him from recruiting. I mean, he's a guy at Ole Miss from Walnut in our area in Northeast Mississippi who hasn't really gotten on the field as a defensive back. And I wonder if he's not someone that they try at linebacker. I don't think he's not going to be big enough to play in the middle. But, you know, I wonder if we don't see a position switch, you know, for him come spring, because, you know, they're going to have some guys on the field who can pick up a new system quickly and who can fly around and make plays. And we'll see, you know, what that means in terms of middle linebacker. Some of these guys, I know DeMarcus Gates obviously has played both positions. They would prefer him play on the outside. But we'll see what that means. They're going to have to fix the linebacker position somehow to really improve against the run next year.
Yeah, for Mississippi State, recruiting-wise, really not as much buzz in this final, you know, less than a week before signing day as usual this time of year, just because Mississippi State already has 13 players enrolled mid-semester. And that's just unusual. I mean, you just don't see – I mean, it's a school record. I mean, they've never had that many come in. You know, 9 junior college players transferred in, 4 early high school graduates transferred in, and a lot of these are some of their bigger names in the class. So to go ahead and get those guys on campus, don't have to worry about them signing with another school on Wednesday, and you get the benefit of having them go through an off-season conditioning program, going through spring practice, and then they get to hit the summer as well. So they'll be very acclimated to what's going on campus and in the playbook. So they should be a well step ahead of most of those guys when they enroll and kind of come in for fall camp. They should be a step ahead are two steps ahead of some of those guys. And a lot of these guys that they have brought in mid-year have been in a Division I program before. Chauncey Rivers and Jonathan Abram have both played at Georgia. Montez Sweat played at Michigan State. Ryan Cole played at Michigan. So they got some players that know what Division I football is all about. And another one of their key guys that they got on campus already is Keaton Thompson. He's obviously the Gatorade Player of the Year in the state of Louisiana, four-star quarterback. And quarterback's a position of need for Mississippi State right now because they had so many transfer at the end of the year. Obviously, Elijah Staley transferred back in August. Damian Williams announced he was transferring right before the Egg Bowl. This past year, he actually finished out the year. Nick Tiano announced he was transferring out right after the Egg Bowl and didn't stick it out through the bowl game. He's transferring to Chattanooga. And it's just, you know, they had one scholarship quarterback left on the roster, Nick Fitzgerald, who obviously had a really, really big year this past year, but he's a sophomore, was a sophomore, be going into his junior year now. And a lot of those guys didn't want to stick behind him, so they transferred out. And Keaton Thompson's coming in as a true freshman, you know, had an amazing senior season, but we'll have to see how he makes the transition to the college game and see if Mississippi State picks up anybody else along the way to kind of help, you know, whether it be a preferred walk-on or whatever. You know, Wyatt Roberts is actually still on campus. The guy from Last Chance U, EMCC, the guy that, you know, in that documentary, he's still around and ran the scout team for Mississippi State last year, so we'll have to see, you know, what his role is in the spring kind of moving forward. But, you know, for what's left, you know, there really wasn't any position of need outside of quarterback except for maybe kicker. And Weston Graves announced last week he would not be coming back. Back surgery has ended his college career. So they thought that they had a good chance with a kicker out of Louisiana Parish. He's an All-American, Joseph Belouvis. He was committed to Georgia Tech, and Mississippi State had been working so hard to get this kid to not only take an official visit to Starkville and slipped his commitment. And he took an official visit to Mississippi State, announced he was decommitting from Georgia, and it got Mississippi State fans all excited that they're going to get this All-American kicker. They already had an All-American punter commit a couple of weeks ago, and they were going to get an All-American kicker to go with him. And a day or so after he decommits from Georgia Tech, he commits to Alabama, who hadn't even been in the recruiting game at all with this kid. He'd never even visited their campus. But, you know, I guess when Alabama offers, you don't pass that up. So Mississippi State's back on the hunt for a kicker. I mean, they're apparently not going to try to out-recruit Alabama for this kid. So, you know, they're trying to find somebody else to kind of scrounge up right here in the black little bit. I don't know if they'll actually offer a scholarship to another kicker, if anybody's even still left out there. I'm really not sure what their plans are. The punter that they have committed did kick field goals in high school. His name's Tucker Day, Brentwood, Tennessee. But they really wanted him strictly as a punter, so I don't really know what their plans are kicking-wise after him. But it's kind of weird that kicker is a position of need, but kicker's been a position of need for Mississippi State for about the last 3 years. And something strange about Dan Mullen's recruiting, the whole time he's been here, he's offered one scholarship to an actual kicker, and that was Sean Broccoli back in 2009 in his first recruiting class. He was a JUCO kicker out of Gulf Coast and came here and kicked for a couple of years, but that's been it. Everybody else has been a walk-on kicker. Devin Bell obviously was on scholarship, but they recruited him as a punter, and he just ended up kicking a few field goals for about one season. So really interested to see what they do at that position, but a lot of experience already on campus kind of takes some of the excitement out of signing day when you have so many already in the bud. I mean, over half their class is already on campus, but you know, as it sits right now, Mississippi State is 27th nationally according to 247sports.com and ranked 9th in the SEC, so they're sitting kind of right outside that top 25. They've got a couple of big names still left on the board that they'd like to pick up between now and Wednesday. If they do that, they could sneak into that top 25.
Well, this signing season, Logan, appears to lack some of the drama that we've seen the last couple of years. You know, it was during Chris Jones's recruitment that there was that that basketball weekend when we were covering there in Starkville, and it was like, well, is Chris Jones in Oxford or is he in Starkville? Did he visit or did he not visit? You know, there was all of that going back and forth. And last year, you know, was unique in the sense that Starkville High School had a player the caliber of A.J. Brown that Ole Miss was in on and eventually signed, and you don't see the Starkville kids going to Ole Miss very much. I know Willie Gay at linebacker was a commitment earlier. I don't get the sense that he's not a commitment now, and I don't get the sense that the Rebels are that close to him. Do you hear anything on Willie Gay?
I hear a lot about Willie Gay.
I know you do.
Here in Starkville, it looks like it's going to come down to Mississippi State or LSU in that situation, and we just have to see kind of what things. Another name to throw out there too, Parrish, is the guy that is committed to Ole Miss, wide receiver D.D. Bowie.
Right.
Morton. Mississippi State's heavily recruiting him. I know they sent the entire coaching staff to his school yesterday. He had an in-home visit with Dan Mullen and Billy Gonzalez, the wide receivers coach, last night. So he came in on an official visit to Mississippi State this past weekend. I think he's supposed to visit Ole Miss this weekend. So that's kind of the name to kind of watch out there between the Mississippi State and Ole Miss. That's kind of the guy that they're battling for over these next few days.
It is, and you want to get every athlete in your class that you can. But if there's a position right now that Ole Miss feels like they can go a year without having a dynamic class at the position, it's wide receiver. That said, they really, really want D.D. Bowie as part of this class, and looks like they'll get the chance to be the last team to impress him on an official visit, and we'll see how that goes. Shifting gears a little bit, Logan, let's talk some basketball. This was a big week for Ole Miss. Now they're halfway finished and haven't gotten off to a big start. Ole Miss began the week with an RPI in the mid-40s on the ESPN site, the simulated rankings there. And that was largely because they had not had a bad loss on their resume yet. Didn't have a real quality win, but didn't have a bad loss. And their strength of schedule has really been carrying their resume so far. So they get to this week with two Texas teams, Texas A&M in the SEC on Wednesday, and then coming up Saturday, number 5 Baylor coming to Ole Miss. We'll visit Oxford for the SEC Big 12 Challenge. This was a big week, and Ole Miss lost 80-76 to Texas A&M on Wednesday. That's not a good RPI loss for the Rebels, so they do have a bad loss there right now. Texas A&M picked third in the SEC by the coaches. They've had their struggles. And, other teams have been able to figure out Texas A&M, which is just 3-5 in the conference now. But Ole Miss could not, and the Rebels were just dominated in the front court. Now, Ole Miss has one of the best front court players in the conference in Sebastian Saiz, who has been a double-double machine this year, and he had 19-7 against the Aggies. But the difference is depth. And Missouri's front court players, because there were more than one of quality, bothered Saiz up in Columbia last week, but the Rebels pulled out the win, and Saiz had almost 20 points. And, and he does his thing, but he doesn't have a lot of help right now. And that was painfully evident against Texas A&M. They just literally dominated the game in the paint. Logan, the Aggies were plus 16 on the glass. And their big guys, Robert Williams and Tyler Davis, were a combined 15-19 from the floor. Tyler Davis was 9-11. Most of those shots were from point-blank range. Robert Williams was 6-8. He has 15 points and 14 rebounds. So anyway, it's front court depth right now that is really beginning to show as an Achilles heel for Ole Miss, and it's not going to get any easier with Baylor coming in. Obviously, they're the fifth-ranked team in the country, but they also are very good in the front court, and they're very good with more than one player. So we'll see how that goes. It would be a tremendous RPI lift if Ole Miss could get that win and would offset a loss to Texas A&M. The Rebels still in need of a quality win on the resume. Jonathan Motley for Baylor is a guy to keep an eye on, a 6'10 junior. He's almost averaging a double-double at 16.2 points, 9.6 rebounds, and he's the guy that's on everybody's watch list right now for postseason awards, so many of them, but specifically the Wooden Award list. So a very talented player that Saiz will have to contend with there, and it looks like Baylor has a little bit better depth in the front court than Ole Miss will have. One interesting note in this game, Logan, is it will feature two Miami transfers. DeAndre Burnett continues to lead Ole Miss in scoring at 17.8 points a game. He had 16 the other night against Texas A&M and 7 assists. He missed 2.5 games with that high ankle sprain. He's done okay coming back. He's still getting his points, but he's not shooting at the free throw line the way he had been. He was over 90% before the high ankle sprain, and in two games coming back, Burnett is 7 for 12 at the free throw line, about 59%. So they really need him to get to the rim and score and get to the free throw line the way he had been doing before the injury. But Baylor has its own Miami transfer in point guard Manu Lecompte, who is a 5'11 junior with 12.1 points and 4.5 assists per game. So they're getting a lot of production from a former Miami player as well. What State got going on this weekend?
Well, this past week they ended up snapping their two-game losing streak that they had going throughout from the previous week. Obviously, had a really good game against Kentucky and lost that by 7 points, I think, in that one, 88-81 here at home. And then went to Tennessee this past weekend. I went up to Knoxville and watched that game. And Mississippi State just, even though they had the size advantage, were just dominated down low and on the boards, and just didn't play defense well at all. I mean, Tennessee had scored 91 points in that ball game, and 54 of those were in the second half, and they just, State just looked lost defensively and just didn't have that same intensity, and just were blown out on the road. And it's kind of one of those games that we talk about all season, Paris, that, you know, this young team, you can't really know what's going to be happening from game to game. You know, they're gonna lose some games that were head scratchers, and they're gonna win some games that they're not supposed to. And that's just kind of where this team is right now, and I think Saturday was evident of that. And of course, Tennessee goes out and knocks off Kentucky their next game. So obviously, Tennessee is an improving team as well, and you know, you've seen that over the last couple of games with them. But Mississippi State played Missouri on Wednesday. Missouri. Kind of a hapless team right now. They had lost 10 straight going into that game, and didn't look like it in that first half. I mean, Missouri was just everything they put up just seemed like it went in. They shot 61.5% in that first half, were 7 of 12 from 3-point range, and led 43-39, so had a 4-point lead at halftime. And now when Mississippi State actually hit a buzzer beater before halftime to cut the lead to 4. But in the second half, it was kind of flipped the script. Mississippi State came out. They hit their first 6 shot of the second half, took the lead, and just never relinquished it from there. Quindary Weatherspoon had a career-high 29 points in that game. And he played well from start to finish in that one. He was really about the only thing they had going offensively there in the first half, and he kind of continued that in the second. But in the second half, it was kind of a Lamar Peters show. Lamar Peters got into foul trouble in that first half, had 3 fouls. And actually, on his 3rd foul, Paris, he bumped knees with a guy and actually hobbled off the court and had to leave go back to the back for a little while, and actually had to ride the exercise bike to get some feeling back in that knee. And in the second half, he was just unbelievable. Scored 20 points in the second half. Hit 5 3-pointers in a row in a span of about 3 minutes. It was probably a little less than 3 minutes. I mean, just everything he put up went in and out. And I know you've covered some prolific 3-point shooters over the last few years, but you know, I don't know if Marshall Henderson or Stephon Moody ever hit 5 in a row in a span of 2 minutes and 40 seconds or so. I'm sure they did. You know, as many shots as those guys put up. But Lamar Peters, ended up being 7 of 11 from 3-point range in that game. 23 points, Mario Kegler tied his career high with 16 points in that game, and Mississippi State wins 89-74. Got a little bit of momentum going back, and they're going to need it. They've got back-to-back road games coming up at Alabama this weekend, and they go to Oxford on Tuesday to play Ole Miss. And Alabama's a team that Mississippi State's played before. They opened the conference season with them and lost by 10 here on their home floor. Didn't play very, very well at all in that ball game. Alabama was just so much more physical, and I think a lot of these freshmen that Mississippi State is throwing out there got their first taste of SEC basketball and just the physicality that they're going to see night in and night out. And Mississippi State was able to go over to Tuscaloosa and kind of avenge a home loss last year, and that's going to be kind of what they're looking to do this year. Obviously, Alabama's improving. They beat Georgia by 20 this week, so Alabama's playing some really good basketball right now, and I think it's going to be a very competitive game over there in Tuscaloosa and Coleman Coliseum this weekend, and we'll have to see if Mississippi State can carry some momentum that they got in that second half against Missouri and carry that over to Tuscaloosa this week.
Yeah, and that win over Georgia was at Georgia, too, and Mark Fox, the Georgia coach, got ejected in that game. Missouri, Logan, for everything, all the struggle that they appear to have on paper, I saw Dave Matter, one of the Missouri beat writers, tweet out during the game the other night that their lead at the half against State was the fourth time in seven conference games that Missouri has had the lead at halftime. They did not against Ole Miss, but they were never really out of it. They were usually just a few points behind. But they went into that Ole Miss game now just two games ago as the lowest-rated team in the country in three-point accuracy. And they have really shot it well behind the arc against Ole Miss first and then Mississippi State, obviously, at least in first half the other night. That Tennessee
– they were 0-9 in the second half. Whatever they had going in the first half didn't translate to the second.
Yeah, well, and it was kind of a second-half thing for them against Ole Miss. So maybe it was like the sum total of one game that they put it all together. Tennessee, man, against Kentucky in Knoxville, I did not see that coming. It was not a very good Tennessee team that I saw in Oxford last week and was really surprised by that. But you know, you talk about teams that are improving and playing better. Certainly looks like Alabama is doing that and maybe Tennessee as well. So we'll see how it all shakes out. But, again, a big Saturday coming up for Ole Miss if they can find a way to slow down Baylor in the front court, if they can be more effective on the glass, the Rebels. You can't get out-rebounded by 16 at home and expect to win the game. Texas A&M had as many offensive rebounds, 16, as Ole Miss had defensive rebounds, and that's not a good a good combination. The Aggies had 18 second chance points. Logan, I got up this morning, it was 32 degrees, and so you know automatically that it's baseball season, and it is the first official day of practice. For these schools, you know, they've had workouts and whatnot. I've seen the Twitter pictures of these Ole Miss guys in the weight room getting bigger, faster, stronger. The Rebels are kind of all over the map right now in the preseason discussion. They're ranked as high as number 8 by Perfect Game, and probably a little more realistic for where they are right now. Number 22 in collegiate baseball, number 24 in the USA Today coaches poll. But then they're unranked by D1Baseball.com, which is the poll that, you know, we'll boil it down and we'll go by D1Baseball.com in the regular season. They're unranked there, and they also are unranked by Baseball America. So the Rebels kind of all over the map right now. They lost an outstanding player in J.B. Woodman and another key offensive player in Henry Lartigue. So they're going to have to replace that offense, but they've got what Baseball America says is the number one recruiting class in the country coming in, and D1Baseball.com has named Oxford's Gray Kessinger as the preseason freshman of the year or newcomer of the year. So a lot of big things expected of this recruiting class. They're going to have to help in different ways. Looks like Kessinger may be able to step in at shortstop and be very productive there, with the Rebels losing a good one in Errol Robinson. And, you know, this class is going to have to help out. Kobe Bortles is back, and he'll be counted on for a lot of offense as well. So the Rebels, what's that first weekend, Logan? Is it like February the 17th? Is that opening day?
That is opening day.
That is opening day, and everybody opens on the same day now. So that's been kind of nice, and Ole Miss will have a big series right out of the gate with former Ole Miss assistant Cliff Godwin bringing to town a number 10-ranked East Carolina team.
Yeah, for Mississippi State, they're not ranked in any of these polls. They've received some votes on some of them, which, you know, when you see a SEC defending SEC champion, you automatically expect them to be in a top, you know, 25 poll. But Mississippi State lost so much from last year, I don't think really a lot of people know what to make of this team yet and just kind of what their makeup is. I mean, they had over a dozen players drafted this past year. And, you know, so it's going to be a new-look Mississippi State team. There are some familiar faces returning, obviously. Jake Mangum, the SEC batting champion, will be back for his sophomore season. Brent Rooker, who was drafted last year, decided to come back. And he gives Mississippi State a real power bat in the middle of that order. And then Connor Pilkington, one of their weekend starters, will now be back on the mound. And I think that's the area that is the biggest question mark for Mississippi State right now, is what that weekend rotation is going to look like after Connor Pilkington. You know, Keegan James was going to be a guy that, you know, probably could kind of fit into that mix. You kind of wondered if he was going to be one of those weekend guys. Well, they announced this week he had Tommy John surgery, so going to be at least another year before he's back out there. So a lot of new names, a lot of new faces are going to be bidding for one of those weekend spots. State actually has a lot of arms, and they should be fine in the bullpen behind those starters, but you got to see which one of those guys step into a weekend starting rotation after Pilkington. And a lot of new faces out there. Obviously, the newest face is Andy Canizero, the coach itself. You know, we'll have to see what his style is, but just being around him a little bit and seeing what he's all about. I don't think you're going to see a lot of bunting. I don't think you're going to see a lot of those pickoff throws to first, the change of pitchers in the middle of the count. It's going to be a new look to Mississippi State baseball, that some of those things that John Cohen's done over the last few years. I think Canizero is going to go out there and swing the bat and, you know, steal bases. I think you're going to see an aggressive style of baseball from him, and the players seem to love him so far. So we'll have to see if that translates to the field this spring. But Mississippi State opens up, like I said, February 17th. They actually have a round-robin tournament coming in, kind of like the same thing they do every year. They've got Texas Tech and Western Illinois coming in for a round-robin deal. They'll play four games over that first weekend, two against each of those teams. And we'll have a better idea of what kind of Mississippi State's looking like by that point.
Folks, that's it for this edition of Double Coverage. We thank you for clicking in with us today. Be sure to check out the memo with Brad Locke and Derek Russell, all things Northeast Mississippi, every Wednesday and Friday. And for all your high school sports needs, check out Prep Rally with Gene Phelps and Blake Morgan. That comes to you every Wednesday. Logan and I will be back with you next Thursday or Friday for Double Coverage.